I say, sis, it's a bit rotten of you to bury me up to my neck in the sand like this. Come on, dig me out. My bumper summer special of the Harpoon magazine should be along in a minute.
Toasty! Harpoon!
What a devoted chap following us all the way to Frinton on his bicycle.
The man's deranged.
Sis, the tide's starting to come in. Sis, come back, sis. I'm going to drown you, satanic sibling.
I always wanted to be an only child. Now for a rollicking, brotherless weed.
All aboard for this week's edition of the Harpoon. A magazine for young and old across the English-speaking world, with six color plates and numerous black and white illustrations. Price 7 pence halfpenny net and available throughout the empire. All rights reserved.
Frontispiece, drawn by Todible Chudney, R.A.
There! That's why I was pushing the mushroom past your bedroom door with the conductor's baton!
Cried Emily, her face a tortured mask of anguish and wry amusement.
See The Barber and the Bathing Costume by Sassafras Babcoot, page 26. Our editor chats.
Hip hip! Your old chum, the editor, here, back with a bumper summer edition of the Empire's favorite weekly. Have a good winter. I certainly did. A thrilling 3-month jaunt through Peru, resulting in the Amazon Basin's first ever Rotary Club and the extinction of no less than 38 species of tree frog. Anyway, all your favorite columnists, storytellers, and Jape Smiths have poodled down to sunny Frinton today in the harbor. Boom sharabang, to dip our toes in the briny, clad in our one-piece striped bathing costumes.
Lovely in port dress, the water's lovely.
Good old Nurse Dennis, our household columnist, thrashing about in the water there like a dirty great sea cow. Well, she'll be back later with an informative article entitled Sunshine, Nature's Cardigan. And Captain Bonnet is back with his most ambitious feature to date, attempting to reverse billions of years of continental drift for the hard of hearing. Oh! Oh, dear! Looks like some little chap's got out of his depth!
My little Herbert's drowning! Throw in something quick!
Here we are, madam.
Oh, thank you. What is it?
It's a copy of the Harpoon. Might not save him from drowning, but at least the foolhardy tyke will go down chuckling. Enjoy your bumper summer issue, won't ya, you waterlogged imbecile?
Ouch! The brute!
Madam, disillusioned with orthodox insect sprays? Thought so. Why not try our brand new alternative? Wave goodbye to wasp problems as you tuck into your potted meat sandwiches on the South Downs. No buttons to press or nozzles to adjust. One simple application removes all wasps from within 5 square miles.
It really works.
Grundy's Grenades. Not a spray.
Mrs. Magg's Guest House, Marina Road, Frinton, welcomes guests for the summer season. No children, pets, travellers, Irish, over 60s, adults, families, all guests. Box? I'm not telling you.
Harpoon How To. The Reverend A. Morris, author of How to Build a Wireless Set, How to Build a Sledge, How to Build a Model Railway, and How to Create Nuclear Fission by Means of Atomic Bombardment in a High-Frequency Current with High-Velocity Neutron Emission, this week tells us how to put up a deck chair.
Good afternoon. How often have you seen your father and mother tragically crippled by those striped canvas and wooden constructions history has learned to call the deck chair? Holidays and even lives have been ruined by this complicated summer task. So today, with the help of the diagram below, I am going to tell you how to erect one. Grasp slat A in the left hand and pull to the side. With the right hand, move slat B slowly downwards while nudging slat C upward on the right knee. Keeping an eye at all times on slat D, place your right heel on slat E and thrust it forward at an angle of 60 degrees. With legs apart, clamp your teeth on slat F and jerk your head up and down. Jump a foot to the left, and there you have it. A fine...
Figure 1. A deck chair.
Deck chair. Good afternoon.
Harry Chambers says you can be a magician.
You can be a magician.
Harry Chambers.
Harpoon Pleasures of the Pier. Seaside fun for young and old.
Hey, Pip. Oh, what's this I see nestling between the Novelty Whelk Emporium and Balliol Brewster's Beach Ball Boutique? A saucy postcard stall. Always worth a giggle. Not that I approve of these things, of course. Boarding house landlady.
Landlady to a little boy with a bucket and spade.
Here, young Jimmy, don't you bring that bucket and spade in the house, will you?
No, Mrs. Arkwright, I won't.
Good.
How disgusting.
Harpoon Summer Drama.
The Smugglers of Smugglers Cove.
A short tale by R.J. Fentel, author of Wolverine, Wolverine, and Owls Carry Guns, and I Can Prove It.
Young William Satchel Ball stepped down from his train into the bright morning sunshine of Burlap-on-Sea.
I do so love being uprooted from home every summer and sent off with a big trunk to my eccentric Aunt Lucilia's vast clapboard house high on the clifftop of this little coastal town.
He mused.
I just hope I don't get caught up in some life-threatening adventure. These are my halls, after all.
So your ticket, please, sir.
There.
So, you wouldn't want to buy a big wooden box of foreign-looking rifles by any chance, would you? Hey?
William, flattered by the guard's offer, but not anticipating a need for overseas-manufactured firearms during his stay in Burlap, headed for Aunt Lucilia's.
William, come on in and kiss my hairy old face. Now, how about lunch? I got jam, freshly painted onions, or some nice, big, sharp pieces of metal.
Thanks, Auntie, but I'm off to visit my seaside chum, Lucy Puddle, who lives on the beach with her father and pet crab Sandy in a house made from lobster pots and the heads of dead tuna fish.
William! Welcome back to Burla!
Sandy, to you! Good grabby.
Arr, come on in, lad. Take a seat on that there box of foreign-looking rifles.
Thanks awfully, Mr. Puddle, but your house stinks.
Oh.
William, Lucy and Sandy ran gaily among the dunes, like two excited children and a pet crab. Then suddenly...
What is it, Sandy? What is this you found? Oh, secret map. Not for the eyes of young uns initially looking innocently for rock pools, but who ends up getting drawn into things that thems knows nothing about.
Lucy, call me a boy who's been sent to stay with a mentally ill elder relative for the summer, but I smell a rat.
Look! Smuggler's Cove, Pickpocket's Bay, Land and Property Tax Fraudsters, Rocky Inlet. What can it all mean?
Let's return at midnight with the map, a faulty torch, and some bloater paste sandwiches and lemonade.
Good idea.
Where are we now?
Dog license, non-payers harbour. I'm bored.
A gaunt, smuggler-like figure is rowing a... boat-like boat into Smuggler's Cove. And if I'm not mistaken, carrying something not unlike a large timber receptacle stuffed with
foreign-looking rifles.
And now he's rowing out again, but minus the...
What?
I can't quite see, but I've got my suspicions. Now, what's this place called? Oh, heck, the faulty torch has gone out. Oh...
Maybe this will help you see better.
Father! What
are you doing here?
Sorry, children. You've seen too much.
Put down the non-indigenous gun, Puddle. The game's up. We have you surrounded.
Aunt Lucidia?
That's right, William.
But you're sane.
Delicious patty.
To think you've been a secret agent for Customs and Excise for the last 60 years, Aunt Lucidia. So, what was Mr. Puddle smuggling?
Boots. He was having them rowed over from France in order to avoid paying 0.03% hull duty imposed on all wooden clinker-built vessels constructed after 1932, then selling them and pocketing the difference.
I thought there was something odd about that man rowing back out to sea, just sitting upright in the water without a boat. But what of the rifles?
Nothing. Bourlapensee is the boxes of foreign-looking rifles capital of Cornwall. Everyone's got one.
Shame about Lucy.
Oh, she'll get used to the workhouse. They always do.
Yes, and she did pong of dead tuna. Just one more thing, Auntie. What became of Sandy the Crab?
What do you think I made this patty from?
Oh. R.J. Fendel returns in the winter with The Murderer of Murderer Mountain, an horrific tale about a murderer who goes around killing people on a sort of big hill. Harpoon interesting photographs. Corner page curiosities. A. A typical cocoa tree. B. An untypical cocoa tree.
Stamp collectors. New sets grouped by depictions. Themes just in. National heroes. Famous fighter aircraft. Football victories. Laughing popes. And doctors demurely blowing kisses at various fruit stroke wind instrument combinations. Tuppenny editions only. Box 1000.
Can't make it to the seaside this year? Oh, never mind. Box 13.
Babbling but bona fide.
Did you know that the seaside was invented in 1873 and, like the sandwich, named after its founder, Lord Seaside? Before the seaside got its name, people simply referred to it as that bit where the land ends, you know, that sort of yellow edge. Lord Seaside died as he had lived, a biped.
Born to Fly.
The Amy Johnson Story, in pictures, drawn by Herbert Strang, with text by Aviator.
Summer 1930. Amy, a young business girl from Hull, has taken up attempting to break the record for a solo flight from England to Australia in her spare time.
Good luck in your plucky stab at beating Bert Hinkler's previous time for the crossing, Amy.
Yes, but watch out for those headwinds and tropical storms over the South China Sea, which have thwarted several attempts before you.
Yes.
And so, Amy commences her journey. But once past the halfway mark, her luck turns against her.
My luck has turned against me. Headwinds and a tropical storm over the South China Sea. Heck!
But Amy presses on, and then...
Ah, Australia.
Amy has done it. She may not have beaten Bert Hinkler's record because of headwinds and a tropical storm over the South China Sea, but she's captured the imagination of ordinary people everywhere.
I say, she's definitely captured my imagination.
Yes, mine too. Shame about the headwinds and the tropical storm over the South China Sea thwarting her attempt on Hinkler's record there.
Yes, I think she should be executed.
Yes.
The end.
Harpoon Pleasures of the Pier. Seaside fun for young and old.
Do-do-do-da-da. Ooh, what's this?
The What the Butler Saw Machine. Well, I suppose I'd better, check, just in case it's,
A silver platter, a wine cellar, the master, the servants' quarters, tea on the terrace, another butler, a silver platter, a wine cellar.
So, that's what butlers see, eh? Saucy!
Boiled sweet for sale. Hardly used, but needs some attention. Box 76.
Enter the dark and grisly world of jam crimes. At the Jam Crimes Museum, Fisherman's Parade, St. Ives. The largest museum in the West Country, devoted to all the terrible murders, robberies and forgeries that have taken place with, on or near jars of fruit preserves containing added sugar.
I conquered my fear of brightly packaged mutton. So can you. Box 14.
It happened today. Group Captain Dorothea Freak continues her series of historical dramas depicting great events that fell upon this very day. This week, Garibaldi's invasion of Naples.
On July 23rd, 1863, one of the great battles of modern history was fought. Garibaldi, with only 1,000 men, stormed the fortress of Naples, manned by a garrison of no less than 27,000 Spaniards, defeated this massive army in a matter of hours, secured the freedom of the city, and thus laid the foundations of a free and united Italy. Unfortunately, today being the 22nd, our drama cannot depict any of these events. So this is what happened on the day before. As the Mediterranean breezes ruffled the mizzenmasts of their brave ship, Garibaldi and his stout-hearted redshirts prepared themselves for the glorious conflict that would fall upon the morrow.
Ah, ladder. Up 3 rows to 24. Oh, Dio mio, a snakey. Down to number 6 again.
Oh, Signor Garibaldi, when si. Are we going to invade Naples?
Tomorrow, the 23rd.
Will it be exciting?
Si, very exciting. Now just throw the dice, will you?
Oh, but Signor Garibaldi, I want to invade Naples today.
We cannot. It's only the 22nd today. We got 15 hours to kill yet. Come in.
What is it?
Ah, Kevin, one of my brave English volunteers. So, what brings you to my cabin, eh?
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd seen my red shirt, sir.
Your red shirt?
Yeah.
No. Have you required of the laundry man?
Yes, sir. He hasn't seen it either, sir. I'll tell you what, sir. Shall I wear a blue shirt instead, sir?
Of course not. We're supposed to be Garibaldi and his 1,000 red shirts.
I'll tell you what, couldn't we be Garibaldi and his 999 red shirts plus one with a blue shirt, sir?
No, we damn well couldn't. Now get out of my sight. 999. Now then, my goal. Hey, look at that flying fish, Giuseppe. Isn't it interesting the way their little fins stretch out and catch the buffeting breeze to give themselves a little lift above the waves? Oh, damn!
What?
I've broken my nail. Look at that little finger there. Well, good night, Alfredo. Looking forward to tomorrow? Good. See?
Excuse me, sir. I just wanted to tell you the ship's cook has found a pink shirt I can borrow. It's not quite red, of course, but...
Yes, that'll be fine, Kevin.
You're sure, sir? Because at a pinch, I could dye it. I mean... You know,
no, just get out, will you, Kevin? Just get out.
Yes, sir. Yes. Good night, sir.
Good night. Am I glad the 22nd is over? Most boring day of my life.
Oh, I've got a red vest, sir.
Get out! Still, at least we get to liberate Italy tomorrow.
And next week in It Happened Today, I'll be relating the events of October the 2nd, 1789. Louis the 14th has a bath, makes some toast, and potters around the shops.
Harpoon Personal Column, incorporating Lonely Hearts and Lost and Found.
Missing map urgently required. Large reward offered. Apply E. Hillary, the Eiffel Tower, Paris, France.
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 American pen pals sought for mutual friendship and correspondence. Could develop into something more. E the 8th, Windsor Castle, Bucks.
3 years ago, I was a penniless down and out with no bank account and nowhere to live. 3 years on, and I still am. Write to me to find out how. Chocolate Jones, the gasometer, Aldgate.
Pebble, much loved and treasured, recently mislaid on beach at Brighton, if found, £10,000 reward happily paid. Box 22.
From A to Z with Nurse Dennis.
Sunshine, Nature's Cardigan.
Our household correspondent gives useful tips on how to make the best of the Earth's own solar swaddling. With more help from Little Bobby.
Hello, materials. How many times have you gazed with awe and wonderment up at that big yellow ball in the sky? 11? Me too. Here are some uses of sunshine.
Number 1, to cure boils, warts and huge open gas shears caused by runaway farm equipment.
Simply go out into the baking sun, bravely clutching a large magnifying glass. Use the lens to direct concentrated rays onto the affected area until the wound is completely gone. Then send 10 shillings for my informative leaflet, Your Local Hospital Baron's Unit, Nature's Way of Treating Great Big Holes Seared in Flesh by Having Held Magnifying Glass Over It in Direct Sunlight. Use number 2.
Number 2, to tell the time.
For centuries, man has used the sun to gauge what time it is, often with stunning accuracy. This is much easier than you'd think. Simply go out into the baking sun, open your eyes and employ the sun's amazing illuminatory talents to look at your watch.
Number 3, to replace the baby Jesus as an object of worship.
Yes, and this is my personal favorite. Simply abandon all Christian teachings, dress as a druid, and prostrate yourself in pagan supplication to the sun god. Damnable blasphemy, perhaps, but let's face it, readers, when was the last time the good Lord gave you a nice tan, dried your washing, or sank beautifully below the horizon, leaving the summer evening sky a gorgeous golden red color? Cheerio, Medeiros!
Harpoon Pleasures of the Pier. Seaside fun for young and old.
Well, here I am outside the freak show tent. Let's have a look, shall we?
Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, and be prepared to witness one of the most astounding freaks of nature ever known to man. Yes, it's the incredible hamster boy of Tafler. He's not half boy, half hamster, or even half hamster, half boy. Ooh. No, he's all hamster. Ooh. Pull back the curtain, Louis.
Yes, sir.
And voila! Feast your eyes on his 3-inch furry body and his tiny scuffling legs. Watch as he presses his minute nose to the bars of his cage and sniffs. And marvel as he climbs onto his small wheel and runs on the spot.
Sure, look at him.
They're horrible, isn't he?
Sure, he's got 4 legs.
He's only a few inches tall.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah, he's a hamster, isn't he?
Yeah. Fancy giving birth to something like that.
Harpoon Back Pages.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it.
Yes, every as ever, it's the Harpooners day. Club. And first off, you said it. Real-life summer humour sent in by your fellow harpooners in a spirit of merriment and jollity. Dear editor, my small nephew,
living near Box Hill, recently flopped onto the grass announcing he was boiling hot. His small sister, aged 3 and a half, piped up, and I'm girling hot. Well, we laughed out loud for what must have been hours. Then my husband got a nosebleed and it started to rain. Still, you can't have everything. Yours sincerely, Mrs. T. Wilbury.
Ha, 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 ha! What another bumper crop of risibility! Keep 'em coming in, won't ya? Learn how to do shadow puppetry for beginners. Analyze the silhouetted figures below. Stick your hands in front of a candle and gaze spellbound as numerous shapes appear on the wall as if by some mysterious medieval magic. Go on, get a move on.
Silhouette one, a herd of bison. Make a fist, cock your left thumb in the air, and wiggle your right index finger. Silhouette two, the Flying Scotsman. Bunch all fingers together and move in a straight line. Silhouette 3, the Battle of Agincourt. Tilt both little fingers to an angle of 30 degrees and move the right hand back and forth in a French accent.
Once more, down to the bridge, dear friends, once more.
Silhouette 4, the Factory Acts of 1844. Flap both hands slowly up and down in a manner likely to improve the conditions of workers in the manufacturing industry back in the mid-19th century.
All urban dwellings shall be fitted with an internal sewage outlet, ensuring that the medical standards
are... No, you're doing the Public Health Act of 1832. Flap the left hand slower.
Clause 1. The working week shall not exceed 56 hours.
Yes, that's better.
And now, some answers to readers' queries from around the world. L.P. Dipsock, New Malden, China. Thank you for your, interesting letter, but this is the Harpoon Magazine and not your acquaintance in the reptile house of Chessington Zoo. You've obviously got the envelopes mixed up. Interesting perfume. N.D. Smethwick, Smethwick & Sons, Butchers Limited, Stansted, Meat. Quite how you've managed to stay in business all these years, selling freshly cut loins of raw sewage, is beyond me. W. Churchill, House of Commons, Westminster, London. Nonsense, the Germans are splendid folk. And Mr. G. Komodo Dragon, the Reptile House, Chessington. I think I can explain. You should have received the letter commencing, Darling Scaly, soon we'll be together. Yes. Well, the sun's going down over the promenade. Big Nelly and her dancing minstrels have put their red noses away for another night. And this is your old chum enjoying a last paddle. Me striped costume rolled up rather daringly above me ankles. Well, what an issue. Don't miss next week's now, will you? Captain Bonnet is back with a marvellous account of how he took pepper to the natives of Wantong Province and nearly lost his ears because of it. Plus the usual bulging banquet of sport, nature, cartoons, and tea plantation insurance advice. Oh, goodness me. Shatterbang's leaving. Wait for me, everyone. Well, this is your old chum, running across the beach to the Esplanade and shouting, Imperatus, Fantasianus, Blubberum, Hip Hip, come back! Oi, oh.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Come on, let's go.
The Harpoon is printed and published weekly by the proprietors, London W1. The magazine was penned by Julian Dutton and Peter Bainham. The characters were lavishly depicted by Susie Brann, Alistair McGowan, Mary Elliott Nelson, Peter Bainham and Julian Dutton. The Harpoon was produced on stretched goat's vellum by Sarah Smith. All rights reserved.
Everything's coming my way. Who's been polishing the sun? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.